It's a new year with 1,000 new prominent ideas. The first to grip the world, Oprah 2020. After all, what makes something or someone presidential? The world has turned upside down and we are all rolling back into a new semester because, hey, that's about all that we can do right now. Hello, Laurie. This is the Cordcast. Background of this episode. The Cord's office flooded this weekend and we're operating out of a different space in the building than usual, so you might hear some dripping and you might hear some banging. Sorry about that. Now, on to the program. Hi everybody, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cordcast. This is obviously our first episode of the new semester and we are all very excited to be back. We've got an issue coming out on Wednesday, the same day this podcast is released, with a whole bunch of great content in it. Just before we get into the program here, I just want to make a quick disclaimer that the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intentions of the content or the opinions of anyone else involved with this publication. So let's just get right into it. I'm joined, as always, by a couple members of our editorial board. Can you guys introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Shai from Arts and Life.
And I'm Emily from Opinion.
And I am, of course, Carlos Wild. I am the features editor, and I always host the podcast. So let's talk about the new issue. Obviously, it has been, it's pretty strained at production right now, I imagine, because we have been away for the weekend at a journalism conference in Toronto, the majority of us. But what is coming up in the new issue, Emily?
In the opinion section, Aaron is going to be talking about microtransactions in video games and the big controversy that surrounds that. So that's going to be pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. And Shai?
Maddie McInnes, our outgoing creative director, wrote a story about her New Year's resolutions for the semester.
Awesome. And that's great. There's all sorts of great content in the issue. Make sure that you pick it up or check it out online at thecord.ca. So let's roll right into the program. Something that I kind of wanted to talk about here. I wrote the editorial for the current issue of The Cord, and I've been seeing these same sorts of opinions popping up online, and this is all to do with the somewhat ridiculous Oprah 2020 hashtag fever that's been sweeping Canada, sweeping the U.S. right now. Are you guys familiar with that story? Can you summarize that, Emily? What's going on?
Basically, Oprah gave a speech at the Golden Globes, and everyone was very inspired and took that as a reason to say that she should be running for president in 2020. It's a lot of BuzzFeedy kind of, oh, vote for Oprah, she should be our new president, as a way to be like, Donald Trump is not the way to go, and he isn't, but I don't think Oprah would be the best alternative, but, you know.
I love that we recognize BuzzFeed as a brand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, just for a style of media.
Yeah, exactly. Clickbaity kind of, yeah.
Right, yeah, I mean, it does seem kind of ridiculous, but there was one thing that I brought up in the article that I wrote, in the editorial, mm-hmm. that I just kind of wanted to address, because the way I wrote it down seemed a little bit disingenuous. And that is that, I mean, there's more precedent for Oprah Winfrey running for president than just Donald Trump. And I think it's that specific political climate that makes it so difficult right now to wrap our head around, because it seems like a direct response, right? Yeah. And oh, this is the complete brand. But George Washington, who was the first president of the United States, Shai just raised her hand, I think, in
mad love for George.
In solidarity with George. But the thing is that George Washington also wasn't a politician, right? I mentioned in my editorial that he wasn't exactly super into taking the presidency, which is true, but he wasn't exactly a politician either. He was a general, mm-hmm. and the reason that people wanted him to take the presidency was because he was a well-known, popular figure that people could rally behind, which is the same case for Oprah, isn't it?
I would say yes and no. I mean, with Oprah, I respect her a lot as a businesswoman, as a person, and that speech was very good. I don't know if that would make her cut out to be president. I think that's a big jump from her being this very, you know, respected figure to, oh, she should be president. It doesn't necessarily mean she can run a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with George Washington, yes, he didn't want to and he didn't have the political experience, but I'll give him some credit. He was the first one. So we've gone through that now. I don't think there's like much of an excuse to say Oprah should be president.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the same light as people saying like Dwayne Johnson should be president. It's not just because he's The Rock and he's great doesn't mean that he's cut out to be president of a country.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because it's not all about charisma, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is... Oh, Shai, sorry. Did you have any thoughts?
Yeah. I think Oprah... And I think, like, this is the same for The Rock and Oprah. What they represent is this ultimate American dream, wherein they both grew up with pretty much nothing. Like, they both grew up in, like, very poor families. And Oprah especially, like, I don't know, I feel like you guys have, like, read her history.
Oh, yeah, she's got a very
like,
tragic
yeah,
background.
Like, a very hard childhood. And, like, just growing up to become one of, I think she's the richest woman in America, isn't she?
I think she is,
so
yeah.
I think, like, when people look at her, that's what they see. Like, that's the American dream, building yourself up.
Yeah,
I think that's what they would recognize in a president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But something difficult about it, this is a headline that I saw somewhere, is that when she went out and made the speech and when this buzz started, it caused Weight Watchers stock, Weight Watchers, of which Oprah Winfrey owns, I believe, 10%, it caused their stock to go up massively.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
But it's just having that sort of influence and having that sort of brand power and responsibility is something that really blurs what a president or somebody in a position of social power should be doing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a president now with the big guy we got in office in the States there, but...
Yeah, I think like the difference between, since we were comparing Oprah to George Washington, is that George Washington wasn't a celebrity, whereas The Rock, Oprah, Trump, these are all celebrities.
Except that he was, though. He was.
Wasn't
I mean, being a celebrity meant something different back then because they didn't have television and tabloids.
Yeah.
But he was one of the most famous generals.
He was well-known.
Yeah, and I saw this post from Andy Borowitz from The New Yorker earlier on Facebook today that was saying, that was going over the precedent there that when generals were the most famous people in America, George Washington was the president. When movie stars were the most famous people in America, Ronald Reagan was the president.
Exactly, yeah.
And when TV celebrities, TV lifestyle celebrities were the most famous people in America, Donald Trump became president. So it's not like there isn't a precedent.
Yeah.
Learn those words, precedent. It's not like there hasn't been a precedent for people qualifying for the office based on celebrity, but is that a trend that we want to follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. No, and I think like what Shai said about like Oprah and The Rock building themselves up from nothing, I think that makes them very relatable to people and makes them feel like they're attainable, sort of. Donald Trump, for most people, I think, isn't the, you know, a relatable guy, you know, getting a loan of $1 million from his father kind of thing.
Just a small little loan.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, I don't think people can relate to him at all. And I think with Oprah, she seems like someone that you can talk to that you want to be like. And I think that that's what makes people attracted to her in terms of wanting her in some sort of position of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we are going to keep moving along. We're just going to put together a short podcast here today. Now, you mentioned in the Arts and Life section that Maddie McInnes wrote...
Was New Year's resolutions for the semester.
Piece on New Year's resolutions for the semester. Okay, so let me just ask you both here for our question of the week.
Okay.
Have you already broken your New Year's resolutions?
No.
can you tell me a bit more about
that? So my New Year's resolution is to be more social. I had last semester, like, when I get, like, really... dedicated to school and dedicated to work, I become a hermit. I don't leave the house. I shut myself in and my friends hate it. So this year I'm like making a very tangible effort to start going to more social events and start hanging out with my friends more in social settings, not just like going over and, hey, you want to watch some TV and then I'm going to leave after an episode, you know, like actually trying to become
more social.
Yeah, more social.
Yeah, that's a goal. Yeah. No, I haven't. I made the goal, very stereotypical goal, to eat better, not completely change my diet or become a new person. And it's been good. It's been better. I found when I limit myself to just, you know, only eating healthy, I break it immediately, but it's been more of a balance. So it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad that has been going well for you.
Yeah.
Are you still committed to those New Year's resolutions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am too, yeah.
Good. So, I mean, it's arbitrary, January 1st, right? Yeah. It's time to start living your best life
new
right
year
now.
Me.
Only now.
Today is the day you start. Don't wait for January 1st, 2019. That's just not a good idea. Okay, so then we're going to move on through to the last section of our podcast. As always, I want you to tell me about something good from your lives in the past week.
So not those moments before when I walked inside.
So I'll kick it off here for us, just because that gives you a couple of seconds to think about what you want to say. My something good from the past week, there have been a lot of good ones because we've had a great bonding weekend together with the Cord. That was a lot of fun. But just to stay on the political topic, the hilarious new book by Michael Wolff that has been selling out everywhere called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. I downloaded the audiobook of that on Saturday morning, and I've been listening to it intermittently, about halfway, two-thirds through it right now. And it is just it's very pulpy. It's very fun and trashy, and I don't know if some parts of it are good journalism, some parts probably aren't, but it is a very enjoyable and a very fun listen. So that has been my something good from the last week. And let's move along to Shy.
My something good. Well, this has nothing to do with the Cord or with school.
Because those are no good, right?
Both suck. School's good. Stay in school.
PSA.
PSA. Mine's about comic books because I have no life outside of them. And Tim Drake was just brought back from the dead, thank God, as a new identity with Savior. And I'm really excited because I've been waiting for this all year.
Can you tell us who Tim Drake is real quick?
Oh, sorry. Tim Drake is the third Robin. He died tragically, sacrificing himself, and he came back.
The third Robin from the Batman series.
Yes, sorry. I'm withholding information. Third Robin went by Red Robin, died, comes back as Savior. It's all very wonderful.
Awesome. And Emily, something good.
My something good, I just finished season 4 of Black Mirror, and I really enjoyed it. Have basically no complaints. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I finished it too quickly. That's my only complaint. But
Fair enough. Yeah. I've only got through the first episode, so yeah. I've got plenty left
got
to
time,
go.
Yeah.
So that's going to bring us to the end of the program. Thank you to both of you for coming on. And all of you listening, make sure that you pick up a copy of The Cord this week. Also, check out thecord.ca for all of our great content online. Follow this podcast. I mean, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play. You can subscribe, you can rate on there. Be awesome. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca. I'd love to hear from you. Anything that you want to say, anything, whatever. I mean, just whatever. Just reach out, and we just want to make the show as good as possible for you, whatever you want. And so just a thank you to everyone at The Cord and all the volunteers and staff at Lucid for making this program possible. And our music was provided by Steve Dave for Life.